How's everybody doing? Didn't sound like it. Good. I feel like the Lord is just with us this morning. When we gather together and we call on the name of Jesus, that's what it's all about. It does not get any better than that. And someday we'll do it with every believer from every tribe and nation and tongue together for all eternity. And these moments that we've had this morning are just tastes of that. And, you know, if like when somebody else has something really good to eat and you get like just a bite, and you're just like, give me that. And you just get a taste. But then the next time you go, you get like, you actually order that thing. Like, think about that feeling of like, finally, right? Ever since we came to this restaurant last time, I've just been waiting for this moment. That's what it's going to be like, but like a lot better than pizza or whatever that item is. We've been going through an unofficial, informal series over the last couple weeks where we had our friend Bob come, who shared about Moses and the burning bush and the revelation of God and the revelation of God's fire. And then John shared last week about how that encounter, the revelation of God, should drive us in compassion in the pattern of Jesus to make interruptions into holy moments. And before I get started, I did want to say Friday was Lacey's Grandma Cheryl's 80th birthday. So happy birthday to Grandma Cheryl and Grandma Cronkright and everybody. So, love you. And also, my stepmom Lisa is with us this morning, and she drove up from Michigan last night to watch Michigan destroy Michigan State in football. See Shiloh, and then when I told her I was preaching, she thought about not coming, but she's here. And the title for this morning's sermon is Whispers to Wake-Up Calls. Whispers to Wake-Up Calls. So as I was preparing, and as I always do, I try to come up with some kind of a cutesy story to get this started because I'm 25 and I don't, you know, put a lot of thought into things. And I was like, what basic story about wake-up calls could I include? And I started thinking about high school. And in high school, Lisa used to always have to be the one to wake me up. And if you've ever woken up a high schooler, you know that God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers, right? I mean, you open the door, and it stinks. And then you actually have to try to get them up. And she used to always threaten me with this song. And I had her send me a video of her singing the song this morning to Shiloh. I'm not going to play it. I thought about it. But it's like, good morning, good morning, good morning, you know. I don't want to sing the whole song. Yeah, I don't remember how it goes. So whispers to wake-up calls, and I don't know if that story has anything to do with what the rest of the sermon, but this morning I want to continue on with what Bob was talking about and these encounters with God and how they drive us to compassion for the lost and how John talked last week that this compassion drives us into the pattern of Jesus to make interruptions into holy moments. And I want to continue on with that theme into how do we engage with what the Spirit is doing? How do we engage with these revelation moments in the gathering? In the gathering. And I could just stop talking because as we prayed for Marcy just like a couple minutes ago, that's the sermon. That's it. But I'll talk anyways because we have plenty of time. And so this morning, we want to take these concepts of compassion and revelation and the Spirit's work and activity, and we want to apply them to this moment and this thing that we do every Sunday. So we're going to dive into 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be gathering some data from chapter 12, 13, and 14, but we're going to be focusing in on 14, verse 1, And if you want to turn there, you can. It'll be up on the screen. But until then, I'm going to pray for us. So if you would just pray with me. And since we're talking about the Holy Spirit this moment, and we're talking about what He wants to do and speak to us, and the things He whispers that we want to make wake-up calls, would you just listen with me? Would you just listen to what He wants to say to you? And even if it's something completely different than what I'm going to say this morning, would you just listen? Okay? Come, Holy Spirit. Would you be with us? Continue to be with us this morning as you already have. Be tangible as you already have. Would you make yourself clear to us? Would you be clear to us this morning so that we can know you, know Jesus, and know the Father? Amen. So how do we lean in to the Spirit's work in the gathering? How do we lean into His activity in the gathering? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, if you want to put it on the screen. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. 3 points this morning coming out of 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Lean into the Spirit's heart, His gifts, and His whispers. Lean into the Spirit's heart, His gifts, and His whispers. The context of these passages, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and if you've read this letter or you've read 2 Corinthians, you know that this is a church that experienced plenty of power. They experienced these gifts. They experienced the work of the Spirit, but they struggled with proper boundaries and organization. They struggled with unity. They struggled to use these things appropriately. And so Paul's using this section of the letter as he writes to this church to communicate, how do you interact with the Spirit in the gathering? And how do you interact with each other with the Spirit? And I also want to give the other caveat, the other bit of context. Whenever we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and especially the gifts of the Spirit, we all bring in our own experience, and we all bring in our own baggage and our own fear. And I just want to tell you this morning that it's okay to be skeptical. It's okay to be a little anxious. It's okay to be a little confused and have questions, because we're all on this journey together. But the Spirit wants to drive us out of that anxiety, out of that skepticism, out of that discomfort, and into His love and into His presence. And I'm naturally skeptical of these things. So if anyone is skeptical, believe me, I'm with you, or at least I've been with you. But I know that without the power of the Spirit, without His activity in the gathering, we will never accomplish our mission. So even if the Spirit makes you uncomfortable, or He makes you a little anxious, or perspectives on Him make you anxious, know this: we can't do it without Him. We're not here to play church. We're not here to put on a show. We're not here just to make friends, although that's a great byproduct. We're here to lean in to the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to talk about this morning, outlined in 1 Corinthians 12, are alive, they're active, and they're available to you and I today. They are available to you and I today. And I've experienced these things, and I believe many of us have experienced these things as well. How do we lean into the Spirit's work in the gathering? 1 Corinthians 14:1. First, we lean in to His heart. Paul writes, follow the way of love. And John outlined last week that the motivation of all three persons of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the motivation is compassion towards humanity. And then Paul puts it this way, follow the way of love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he outlines what he means by this. We've all read, maybe we haven't all read, but many of us have heard 1 Corinthians 13, maybe if not in church, but at a wedding, right? It's often taken out of this context of a letter to a church and placed into the context of romantic love, which is great. But Paul interestingly writes a whole discourse about love and what is love and how do we love in between two chapters about gifts of the Spirit. He's like, let's talk about healing and miracles and faith and, wait, love. And then we'll go back to it. Why does he interrupt? It's interestingly sandwiched between these two discussions. And when Paul says to follow the way of love, he's challenging the Corinthian church specifically to love those around them in the gathering. He's challenging them specifically to love those around them in the gathering. In Jude, Jude is writing this letter. It's one of the letters in the New Testament. And he refers to these gatherings as love feasts. Can you imagine if we called our services love feasts? Ugh. People would be so weirded out. And like, it's 2023. People are already weirded out by church. Do you want to come to our love feast Sunday morning? But that's what it's all about. We gather together and we join together in love. And we feast, sometimes physically, on the first Sunday of every month. We take communion together, the bread and the cup, and that's the feast. And then we have a meal together, that's also the feast. But even on the other Sundays of the month, we gather together to feast on the daily bread of God's word and his presence. And we gather together to join in love and become unified in love, in the love of God. So first things first, before we can get to the gifts of the Spirit, before we can get to the power that's available to us, we have to learn to love one another. And as we say all the time in our church, and as John constantly says, our objective is that we would grow in our capacity to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. Or another way he puts it, that we would grow in our capacity to receive and then to give love. So without love, the gifts of the Spirit are meaningless. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 about how without love, if I speak in the tongues of angels or I prophesy, it's like a banging gong. It's like noise. And when I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about the way my son Shiloh plays the guitar. He's 1.5. And he's making progress. But when he first started, it was just smack. Caden, can I do it on your guitar? Can I show him? Yeah. And maybe a strum. But as he continued on and he practiced as much as a 1.5-year-old can practice, and he observed Lacey, who's pretty good at playing the ukulele at least, and observed me, who knows how to hold a guitar, he started to figure it out a little bit. And it went from strum to holding his hand like he's going to play a chord. And it went from bang to plucking. And it went from ah to singing happy birthday for some reason. Just the first two words, just happy birthday, and then he stops. But our objective before we can get to the power of God is to grow in our capacity to make the music of God, which is to love one another. Otherwise, it's just smacking a ukulele and yelling guitar and keeping me up all night. So we lean into the Spirit's work in the gathering when we lean into his heart for one another. And we know that we're leaning into the Spirit in the gatherings when our relationships with our brothers and our sisters in faith look more like the attributes Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13, which is patience, kindness, humility, contentment, honor, forgiveness, truth, protection, trust, hope, perseverance. That's the music. Those are the notes of love. And let me offer this application or this caveat. Love is not simply just being nice or polite. Love is not just simply being nice or polite. Paul says kindness in 1 Corinthians 13, but he does not say niceness. Saying hello saying, how are you, and then moving on, or a handshake and moving on, it's not love. Although it can be the initiation of love, and it can be part of love, but you and I'm more guilty of this than ever, because for some reason, after chasing around a one-year-old for a couple hours on Sunday morning, I don't want to talk to anyone, but I'm guilty of this, that I just want to be nice to people in church. I just want to be polite to people in church. But we're supposed to be woven together like a net. Love is healthy intimacy. Love is compassion, as we've talked about in the last couple weeks. Love is when you cry, I cry. Love is when you rejoice, I rejoice. Love is when we are with one another. And when we love one another, we can move forward into something greater, into something more impactful, which is love, and then the power of God expressed through the gifts of the Spirit. So the second point, we lean into his heart, and then we lean into his gifts. We lean into his gifts. But what are the gifts of the Spirit? Back to chapter 12, Paul gives an outline of the gifts. And one person defines the gifts as gifts of grace granted by the Holy Spirit that are designed for the edification of the church. And by edification, this writer means the building up of our faith. The growing in that musical capacity, the movement in our capacity to love and live after the pattern of Jesus. And this word for gifts is charisma, or what we would say what? Charisma, right? But here's the tricky thing. It has nothing to do with charisma. It has nothing to do with charisma. The gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call him, they're manifestations of him and his work among believers in moments or over time, used to build up the faith of the church. Gifts of the Spirit, not gifts of intellect, not gifts of intelligence, not gifts of charisma or humor, although I know I'm hilarious. Gifts, not gifts of personality, not a certain Enneagram or Myers-Briggs, but manifestations of God among us. Paul lists these gifts, messages of wisdom and knowledge, supernatural faith, supernatural healing, prophecy, which we'll talk about, speaking in other tongues, interpreting those tongues. In Next Steps, shameless plug, if you haven't done Next Steps, it's a mini small group where you kind of find a way to integrate into Christ's community and you learn how you can participate in what we do and how we lean into the Spirit. You take a spiritual gifts test. You learn what you are predisposed towards, what gifts of the Spirit you might need to be chasing and eagerly desiring after because they fit with who you already are. So if you haven't gone through Next Steps and you want to learn, how can I participate? How can I give? And not just consume. Go to Next Steps. And all of these manifestations are manifestations of the same person, the Spirit of God. So whether your gift or whether the gift that flows through you is quiet, like a supernatural faith or a gift of intercessory prayer, or it's public, like those who sing and play on Sunday mornings, or those who share words of prophecy, they're all the same level of honor and importance because they all come from the same person. And they all come from the same person, and they all are designed to lead us to the same person. In chapter 12, Paul writes that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. When we experience these gifts, whether healing or faith or prophecy or words of knowledge or tongues, they're signs that point us. Signs always point to something. Signs that point us to Jesus on the cross as our King. And in rising from the grave as our King. Jesus is Lord. When we experience the gifts, They're calling us, they're pointing us to Jesus so that we can say in faith, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And in a couple weeks, another shameless plug, a couple weeks we'll be having a worship night where we'll gather together. And we do this already on Sunday mornings, but it will be an especially pertinent night where we can gather together and use these gifts. So eagerly desire, pray for, chase after, pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Especially what? Prophecy. And here's why the gifts are so important. Here's why the gifts are so important. Here's why here's why Paul says to chase after them or eagerly desire them. The gifts of the Spirit, they call us to Jesus, but also they make what the Holy Spirit is whispering to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls. They make what the Spirit is whispering into wake-up calls that are loud and unavoidable, that sound like, good morning, good morning, good morning. They make what the Spirit whispers into wake-up calls, especially prophecy. His whispers. Prophecy is the pinnacle of the gifts of the Spirit. And so what is prophecy? If you're not into that sort of thing, or you're new to the gifts of the Spirit, or you're new to faith, prophecy is not fortune-telling or an act of intelligence or cleverness or figuring out a puzzle. It's not always future-oriented. When we think of prophecy, sometimes we think, oh, down the road, this will happen, or this person will be elected, or this will happen overseas. And sometimes it can be foretelling, but more often for us, it is forthtelling. It's saying this is happening in the moment, or this needs to happen in the moment. And it's not always for a large group of people. Oftentimes, prophecy happens in between individuals. So if you think, man, that's not for me. I could never stand up on the stage or grab the microphone and say, hey, this is what the Lord says. Not that you have to say that. Sometimes that's weird. But more often than not, prophecy is me receiving a whisper about someone else or hearing what the Lord is already whispering to someone else, and so that I can go to them and be the wake-up call. From whispers to wake-up calls. And the New Testament role of prophecy is not the same, and I want to make this clear, this is just a quick caveat. It's not the same as the Old Testament role of prophecy. And this is confusing, this is for some people, this is difficult to accept for some people, but the Old Testament role of the prophet was to instruct, command, and warn kings and the elite in the nation of Israel. But for us, the role of prophecy is the same as the rest of the gifts of the Spirit, which is to edify the church. So when we eagerly desire to prophesy, it's for a specific purpose. It's so that God's people can be built up, and so that they can call on the name of Jesus and say, you are Lord. That's what prophecy is for. And as we prophesy together with these definitions, know that the ultimate example and measuring stick of what is prophetic and what is false is God's word. Is God's word. That which is we claim is prophetic, but which disagrees with God's word is not prophetic, but is false. But what makes prophecy so important? The gifts of the Spirit are God's ways of using the church to take whispers and to wake up calls. And God gives these gifts out of compassion. And prophecy is the loudest and the clearest of these gifts. If the other gifts are like an alarm clock, prophecy is like a friend waking you up. Sometimes with a whisper, sometimes with a bucket of ice water, sometimes with a bad song. God wants to make himself clear to his people, and so he gives them prophecy. Prophecy is taking a moment to break through the monotony and allow God to make himself clear. And sometimes we wonder, why doesn't God always make himself clear? Why doesn't he just poke his head through the clouds and say, this is what I want you to do? Right? Like, that's why aren't, even in the Bible, people write, God, why do you hide yourself from me? Why are you hidden? Jesus says, why, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. Why isn't he more clear? Why is he distant? And I want you to know this morning that when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to God's clarity, revelation requires response. Revelation requires response. When God showed up in the burning bush to Moses, not was it just a moment of revelation, but it was an opportunity for response. He said, take off your sandals. Take off your defilement. And Bob said recently, take off your apathy. Revelation requires response. So when we come together, it's an opportunity for revelation and response. Revelation and response. It's an opportunity for a holy moment. And I want desperately, eagerly, for our church to be a place where prophecy is desired and utilized. Where we lean in intentionally to the Spirit's gifts, and we make what he is whispering to our hearts, or to your heart, or my heart, we take those things and we make them loud. We make whispers into wake-up calls. We make the love of God loud among us. And not just loud, but also intelligible. And this is where Paul, he talks about orderly conduct within a service, right? It's your responsibility and my responsibility to make things clear and orderly and in a way that allows those who are new to faith or exploring faith, allows them to see and understand what's going on and ask questions and feel safe to discuss these things. So we want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Eagerly chase after the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Do so in an orderly way. Do so in an appropriate and healthy way, which is to make things clear. And I also want to say prophecy can look different for different people. God doesn't override your personality. God doesn't override your natural gifts with his supernatural gifts. So if you have a word for someone else, if you have a prophetic utterance for someone else, if you feel like God has an encouragement for someone else, you don't have to just share it verbally. You don't have to do it in the way that others do it. You can draw. You can write notes or poetry. Sing songs. And sometimes prophetic words show up differently for us as well. Sometimes it's a whisper to our hearts. Sometimes we read in the scripture and we're like, oh, that verse is for this person. Some people have dreams and visions. That's how Lacey is. You and I, if we have the Holy Spirit within us, have license and ability to access the Spirit, to eagerly desire his gifts, to prophesy, to love one another in powerful and loud ways. In powerful and loud ways. And the Spirit is whispering to each of our hearts, and he might be prompting you in one way or another to be that vessel to those around you, to be that wake-up call to your brother or your sister. Do you eagerly desire to contribute in compassion to those around you? Do you desire that? Do you come to these gatherings hoping in love that you can be an encouragement or a challenge even to your brother and sister? That's love. That's compassion. And so if that's where you're at this morning, I want to encourage you that there is good news for you, that the Spirit is more interested in working with you than you are with him. He, as John says about the communion, he eagerly desires to have this meal with you. The Spirit eagerly desires to work through you and benefit and edify those around you. I'm going to ask that the worship team joins me. And if you're part of the prayer team, if you want to come to the front, I want this to be a holy moment for us. And I know that I need more. I need more. I need more of God's grace. I need more of his gifts. I need more of his love and his power. If I'm ever going to do the thing that he's called me to do, or the things that he's called me to do, to be the brother that he's called me to do, the husband, the father that he's called me to do, to be. And if you'll stand with me if you're able, I want to take a moment to listen to him, to hear what he might have to say to us. And then I want to invite you that if you're eagerly desiring that the Spirit would lead you to others in compassion and power, I want you to come forward as we sing or before we sing so that we can pray together. So we're gonna listen for a moment, and then I'm going to pray. And if you are eagerly desiring for the Spirit to lead you in compassion and power, I want to invite you to come forward and pray with someone from the prayer team, or I will pray with you, and then we'll sing together to seal what God's done this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you give us these gifts, as you already have this morning, gifts of faith for healing, gifts of prophecy. Would you give us gifts of tongues? Would you build us up together? Lord, I pray for all those who are here this morning, those who have gathered at the front this morning, and everyone in their seats, everyone who sits or stands, our children and our babies, from young to old, Lord. Would you empower us to be one, to be unified, to be connected to each other's pain and fears, and to have the courage and the faith to hear the whispers and to make them wake-up calls. We eagerly desire you, Jesus. We eagerly desire you, Holy Spirit, and all of your gifts. And we ask you to come now. We ask you to come now and make us one and give us this power. Not for our own building up, not for our own ego, or so that we can look spiritual, so that we can, in humility and compassion, love one another. We ask you this, Jesus.
There's a name that levels mountains. It carves out highways through the sea. I've seen its power unravel battles right in front of me. There's a faith that stands defiant. Sends Goliath to his knees. I've seen his praise unravel shackles right off my feet. Cause that's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break. Jesus, we claim.
was cut to the heart. I just saw Jesus on the cross. And I'm like, God, what do we need? That's what we need. We need a fresh revelation of Jesus on the cross, a fresh revelation of his blood, a fresh revelation of he carried the weight you're feeling in your chest, the weight you're feeling at night, when you're up at night, when you can't sleep. He carried that weight to the cross, and he bled, and he died for you, the King of the world, the God of the universe. And that blood can cover you right now. If you lift up your hands and you say, Jesus, I want a fresh revelation of your cross, go ahead and lift up your hands now. Lord Jesus, I just pray that your blood, that a tangible outpouring of your blood would cover each person, Jesus, washing away the sin, the pain, the hurt, Jesus, the ailments, the aching in their heart, Jesus, a fresh revelation of a God who loves them, a God who sees them, a God who has been with them from the very beginning, through every hard, through every painful moment, Jesus, you were there, and your blood covers it all. And we come out, Jesus, white as snow. You are pressing ahead. You are moving in our lives, Jesus. We accept that now.
I see you taking ground, and I see you press ahead. Your power is dangerous to the enemy's hand. And you still do miracles, and you will do what you said. For you're the same God now as you've always been.
Your spirit breaks.
Encouraged this morning. This is good news. It's good news for us. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you as you go into your week. Whatever you're facing, He is with you. He is for you. God bless you. You are dismissed.